Thank you, Brother Larry. It is a pleasure to be with you tonight. Bethel and I have a very special relationship right now. I appreciate so much the elders in being willing to continue the oversight of the work that is being done over in Jos, Nigeria. I have been privileged to be involved in this work in a minor way for a number of years. I did spend 3 years on the mission field. I saw some of the consequences of natives coming to America to be educated and then coming back to Australia, where I was at the time, and they seemed to have more difficulty adjusting and doing without the things that Americans are used to than we American missionaries did. And I became convinced at that time that it was really important to provide training on the mission field for natives in their own culture. And when I became aware of the work that was being done in northern Nigeria, primarily Brother Steve Worley has been involved in that work for some 30 years now. But when I became aware of what was being done at the Jos School of Biblical Studies, the school began in 1989, with 12 students, and since that time we have had 319 graduates. Those who graduated from our school are working throughout Africa now, in Nigeria, of course, in Niger, which is the nation just north of us, working in the nation of Chad, working in the nation of South Sudan, working in Uganda, working in Zimbabwe, working in Cameroon, working in Ghana, working in Liberia. We have had some 319 graduates over the years. We had 24 graduates last year. We have a 4-year program and a 2-year program. And last year, 12 of those were from the 2-year program and 12 were from the 4-year program. Those of you who are familiar with a Bible degree from any of our Christian colleges here in the States, when I went to school years ago, I was only required to take 1 year of Greek, which I did, but I also took a second year, but I took no Hebrew. Our graduates at Jos School of Biblical Studies are required, if they're in the 4-year program, to take 2 years of Greek and 2 years of Hebrew. Our school has an affiliation with the University of Jos, Dr. Solomon Agu, who is head of the School of Biblical Studies, had a relationship with the University of Jos, and as a matter of fact, he came over to Ole Miss to get an agriculture degree with the intent of going back and teaching agriculture at the University of Jos. But because he had a relationship with them, he was able to make an arrangement where our 4-year students are qualified because of our affiliation with Jos. They are qualified to teach in the public school systems of Nigeria, which gives them the opportunity to also earn a living at the same time they are preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The school this year has 106 students enrolled. We had 86 last year. We have some female students. They have to live off campus. That is not an ideal situation at all. And so one of the things that we're involved in right now is trying to build a new dorm. As a matter of fact, work has begun on that. We have the capacity on campus. We have a 15-acre campus in the city of Jos, and we have capacity on the campus of making our own concrete blocks. And so that process has started. Some excavation has also started to build a new dorm. As I go through the slides in just a moment, you will see why we need it, because we just have one dorm on campus, and it was built to house 60 students. Last year, it had 64 in it when we had 86 students. So I'm not sure exactly how many are in it this year. I'll find out when I go next month, and I'll report that to you perhaps at a later time. But how did I get involved in Nigeria and in the idea of training men on the field. I got involved because of the late Brother Jimmy Lovell. He published a magazine out of California called Action Magazine. He was a man of action, and he had a dream, and his dream was this. He said, I don't see why, when there's so many people outside of the United States who need the gospel and so few workers, he said, we've got to come up with some way to try to get the gospel to the masses throughout the world. And he had an idea, and his idea was this. In any nation where English is either a second language or spoken by a significant portion, where there is an English newspaper, we need to buy an ad and offer a Bible correspondence course to those people who are living in darkness who need the gospel. And his idea was a great idea, and it had a phenomenal impact. Most of the teachers in our school at Joss right now were initially contacted through World Bible School. I got involved and sent off and got the names of some students in Nigeria. And I was preaching at the Mars Hill Church in Florence at that time. This was back in the 80s. And we had a good brother in Christ there, Brother Howard Lewis. His wife, Sister Lily, had passed away. And he said, I want to be involved and do something. And he came to me and I said, well, Brother Howard, I have a lot of Bible correspondence coursework that I'm doing through World Bible School. And he said, okay, can I come and do grading? I said, sure. He came one or two mornings a week. Went in the church library. He graded Bible correspondence courses. I prepared them for mailing. The church did the mailing and so paid for the mailing. And so during that period of time, he and I had between 1,500 and 2,000 World Bible School students in Nigeria. And that was a good work, and it whetted my appetite, got me interested. The congregations where I preached, Mars Hill, and I preached at Hillview in Birmingham, later at a later time, and then at Cedar Grove, and I think Cedar Grove was already involved in supporting Brother Ray Bush as he did this work. But everywhere I went, I encouraged the brethren to be involved, perhaps supporting a student in the school or helping in this work in some way, because it is so vital that we train individuals to follow up on the World Bible School work. We ran into a roadblock a year or two ago because the Nigerian government increased international postage 400%. Now, for you and I, that wouldn't be a major problem, perhaps, because I think we can mail even now at $1.05 or $1.15 an international letter. But a Nigerian doesn't have that kind of income, the same level of income that we do, to be sure. And so they couldn't afford to mail their stuff back to the States to be graded. So we came up with an idea, and that was to have, Brother Steve Worley got permission from one of the Bible correspondence courses to print it and use it in Nigeria, not to sell it, but to print it and use it to teach lost souls. And the good thing about that is that the government did not go up on the local postage, just international postage. So we have been able to have on campus a Bible correspondence center, and I want to go to that. But let me give just a couple of more things just to introduce you a little bit a little bit about Nigeria that will be background information. In the state of Alabama, our population for the state of Alabama is 4,802,704. Now, that figure was 2011, so it may be up a little bit. So we could say even 5 million living in Alabama right now. Nigeria has 36 states. The capital is Abuja, and that's been in the news recently. But Nigeria has been called the giant of Australia. It is the most populous country in Nigeria. It has the second largest economy, the most populous country in Africa. I think I said Nigeria. Sorry about that. It has the second largest economy in Africa. It is the 12th largest producer of petroleum in the world. So we have some interest in that regard. But more importantly than any of those things, it has 175 million souls. 175 million souls. The official language is English. It is the Queen's English, so you have to tune your ears. It's a little bit a little bit different from Southern English, and yet it is something that is you can learn to listen to. Our classes at the school are taught in English and Hausa, which is the language of most of the people in northern Nigeria. And there is a great difference between northern Nigeria and southern Nigeria. Northern Nigeria is 75% Muslim. Some of the states in the north up on the border are 90% Muslim. And that's where the unrest has been. When I was there last year, the government sent 2,000 troops into three of the northern border states to try to drive some of the extremists out. But unfortunately, their borders are about like ours, and so the extremists flee into the neighboring countries until the government troops back out, and then they come back in. Nigeria is located in the western, northwestern part of Africa. So let's see if we can get going with, this is a map of Nigeria, okay. This was one of the first things that we did when I got there last year. Brother Adam Cox and I traveled together going over, and Brother Steve Worley, of course, was there. He spends about 6 months a year in Nigeria and about 6 months a year in the States. Brother Steve Worley is the fellow here that's doing the drilling. Adam Cox is observing, and I was the camera guy that day. So we were getting ready to dedicate the Ray Bush Evangelism Center, and there's a plaque that we were going to mount on the wall, and that's what's being done, making preparations to mount that plaque on the wall. This was the day of the dedication. We had several hundred people there, Brother Solomon Agu spoke, and Brother Steve Worley spoke, and had some very interesting things to say. Brother Bush is very dear to you here at Bethel, rightly so. He was a man who was committed to this work and did a tremendous work as far as public relations for the School of Biblical Studies. This was, as I said, the day that we did dedicate the Ray Bush Evangelism Center. This is the plaque that was mounted on the wall there, and that is in one end of our classroom building, our main classroom building. There was an office there that had been used for, I think Brother Worley may have used it a part of the time, but he said, I've got an office at home. We need to use this for evangelism. So that was the dedication service. This is the gentleman who is in charge of the Bible correspondence work. And I had, and it's not current at all, but I think the first 3 months that we had this system in operation, I did get a report, and as I say, this was about the first 3 months. We were from May to maybe August, something along there. During that period, we had 1,500 correspondence courses printed. 1,200 courses were given out to the people. 515 students were enrolled in the Bible correspondence course. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we here in the States could pass out 1,500 Bible correspondence courses, number one lessons, and have 33% of them enrolled say, yes, I want to take this Bible correspondence course. During that first few months, 35 were baptized because of the course. There were some 37 that had requested baptism. They have students from all over northern Nigeria. And let me say another thing. I mentioned that northern Nigeria is predominantly Muslim. Much work has been done by our brethren and others in southern Nigeria. And southern Nigeria is basically classified as Christian, at least in the generic sense. We have literally thousands of congregations of the Lord's Church meeting in southern Nigeria. But when this work started in northern Nigeria in 1989, there were only 30 congregations in all of northern Nigeria. Today, there are more than 350 congregations. That's in a 25-year period, from 30 congregations to 350-plus congregations. We have 22 follow-up evangelists that work throughout northern Nigeria. Yes, in that area that is predominantly Muslim. But they make like $200 per month. You think about that. And I will tell you that I did not observe the cost of living being a whole lot less in Nigeria than it is here in the States. This is Brother Dauda Baku, B-A-K-U. I thought, Baker, I can remember that name. A lot of them were so unfamiliar to me that I would never remember them. But Brother Dauda Baku is the one who is in charge of this. And this is the Evangelism Center, the interior of it. This is the Bible correspondence courses that have been printed and are being distributed and being used to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a close-up of some of the work that has, the printed material that has been prepared. This is on campus, and I was curious about the topography, what it was like in Africa. Huge boulders were everywhere on campus, and this was out in front of Brother Steve Worley's home on the campus there. And this is the front door of his home. He has a picture of a lighthouse on it, and I thought how appropriate indeed for a missionary to have a lighthouse as a symbol on his front door, because we're trying to take the light of the gospel into a part of the world where it is so desperately needed. He also, on the security fence, has some little lighthouses posted out there. This is Brother Steve Worley and two of the follow-up evangelists that do the work of following up not only the Bible correspondence work, but they also minister to congregations. Some of them preach for three congregations on a particular Lord's Day. Again, that's just some of the topography. This was outside of Steve and Dee Worley's kitchen window. Just a big boulder sitting on a little rock. Somebody said, how did they get that there? I have no clue, but I don't know whether it's always been there or what, but it was interesting to see. And in the background, you can see some of the typical African housing. They do, on campus, make an effort to break up some of these boulders. They use dynamite, they use fire to get them heated and then break them up to this level. And then they break them on down to even smaller levels to use on the walkways. The fence you see there has steel spikes on it because we are in northern Nigeria, and there are extremists there. And so we feel that we need to do everything we can to protect our students, to protect the campus. Just outside of the fence, you see another building, and then you see one of the boulders, and there was a goat just sitting up there, and I thought that's an interesting picture. I did observe that goats and chickens have free reign in Africa, in Nigeria in particular. I grew up in South Alabama, and I remember going to sleep with the dogs barking and waking up with the roosters crowing. And this took me back to my childhood when I was there last year, hearing some of those familiar sounds again. Again, just some of the typical terrain. This was a big lizard that visited there in front of Brother Worley's home 2 or 3 days when I was there. I let him have his full sway, and I stayed back out of his way. This is our classroom building. It is completely adequate for our present needs. Brother Worley told me that when they built this building, and one of the things you do need to remember about Nigeria, everything is done manually. They don't have heavy machinery or equipment to build buildings with. When they first of all built the first story of the building and came later and built the second story, and on the day they were taking the concrete up to the second level, they built a wooden walkway, and they had hired some 900 people to carry pans of concrete on their head up those wooden walkways up to the second level as they were pouring concrete to build the second story of that building. And again, that's just another picture of it. The walkway there has some of the huge boulders that have been crushed down to gravel size, and that makes a very good walkway. This is the men's dorm that I mentioned that was built to house 60 students. Last year it had 64. It has even more than that this year. In front of it there you see mango trees, and you may be able to see the mango fruit on the trees, which we have planted a number of fruit trees on campus because the students have to provide their own food. This is the back of the men's dorm. And as I say, it was built to house 60 students. And behind it, the open area there that is covered is the kitchen. That's where they eat their food, and they cook it on an open pot there in the center. And on the back side of that is the area where they their bathhouse. This is the area where we hope to build the new dorm, and as I say, some landscaping has already been done in preparation for that. This is our library. One of the things that was requested by last year's graduating class, they made an appeal to the board, please help us to upgrade our library. The students are bright young men and women. They are individuals who want to learn, and so they're interested in developing the resources of the library. That's one of the great needs that we have also. This is the first classroom building that was constructed. Today it is being used. There is one marriage student apartment downstairs. Upstairs has been developed into offices for our staff. We have 13 members on staff. One of the interesting things about that, Africa is unfortunately prone to ethnic violence. And you think, well, all of the people are the same race, but, you know, they're different tribes. Well, one of the great things about the Jaw School of Biblical Studies is we have 13 members on our staff, most all of which, as I say, were originally contacted through World Bible School, but they represent 8 different tribal groups. And they are demonstrating that people from different tribes can work together for the common good and for the cause of Christ. This is just a storage building on our campus. We had a graduation dinner when I was there last year, and Dr. Solomon Agu and the chairman of the board spoke that night. This is Sister Rachel Agu, who is the librarian. She was making some presentations that night. And this was the gentleman who was the top student last year, the valedictorian. One of the things I learned, because it was my first trip to Africa last year, and I spoke on the lectureship some three different times, they all came up to me, "We want a copy of your lesson. We want a copy of your lesson." This young man was speaking that night, but before he spoke, he handed out a copy of his lesson. And so I've learned that when I go back this next year, next month actually, that I need to take outlines to be able to hand them out to those who would like to have copies of them. Again, this was just the graduation dinner. This is graduation day. Of course, they had their caps and gowns and ready to proceed. This is the interior of the Ring Road congregation that is on the campus of the school. I spoke there on Sunday morning, and the building will seat 300 people, and they had to bring in benches and chairs. So I know there were more than 300 people there. It looks like a very elaborate building, but it is not. The benches are like you might remember out of the 40s and 50s. They have a couple of planks on for the seat at the bottom, no padding, and some of them sway, and it's not really the most comfortable place to sit for a 2 or 3 hour lecture. Nevertheless, that's where the graduation was held. That's the interior of the building. One thing you will note that we have lighting there. For the first 9 years, the school operated without a reliable source of electricity. They do have electricity, and you usually have it 3 hours a day, but you never know which 3 hours you're going to get it. So that makes it interesting. We were able to get a generator for the campus, so when we worship, when we need it for class, we do have lighting, and of course we have fans, not air conditioning. But this is the graduating class last year. This is the faculty. You will note that some of them have Fried Hardeman logos. One of them, I think at least one, went to Ambridge University. They all have graduate degrees. They're fully qualified, and they are doing an outstanding work. This is the graduating class last year, some 24 total graduates. This is just some of the crowd that were there for graduation. A lot of bright colors. People around the world, you will note, some of us still like to wear the bright colors. And so it was a very interesting day, a very enjoyable day, and good to see them reach that milestone in their life. This is the front of the Ring Road congregation. They also have a primary school that meets in that building. And anytime you find children and you have a camera, they're ready to pose for you. And these certainly did. But this is the part of their building where they have their classes. And Brother Steve Worley was there with his, I believe, iPad. Took a picture, and of course all of them took a picture of them. They wanted to see the picture, and so they were all huddling around him to see that. Again, this is some of the typical dress that the ladies wear when they came for either worship or to the lectureship. This is myself and a couple of the evangelists. The gentleman in the center was from down south, and one of the things about JAWS, and we do stress evangelism. That is the whole purpose, to train them to do the evangelism. They go out every weekend and do evangelism. They go out at least once a year on a week-long campaign. Last year, the week before I was there, the students had gone out to 8 different areas and in 1 week had baptized 88 souls. They are doing a good work. They are being trained and trained well. I mention all of that because the gentleman in the center is an evangelist from down south. And last year, for the first time, they had approached the school and said, please send some of your students down here to help us, because they, many of their folks, are not well trained in evangelism. And so that's one of the exciting things to me about the Joss School of Biblical Studies. When we're there, Brother Steve Worley usually conducts a workshop for the follow-up evangelist. They come in for graduation, for the lectureship, and for a workshop. And he tries to work with them about any problems they're encountering, spends several hours with them, and this is just another gathering of that particular group. This is Brother Solomon Agu addressing the same group, telling them and updating them about things that are happening at the school. This is one of the follow-up evangelists. We have been fortunate. None of our evangelists have been killed we've had one church building destroyed, but it was destroyed on a Saturday, so no one was harmed. But this man's home was burned in April before he came in May to the graduation, to the workshop, to the lectureship. And he said, I will not allow their threats, their persecution to stop me from preaching the gospel. That's the kind of commitment that we have among our brethren there. These five brethren are from Niger. Actually, the one on the, it's my lower left looking at the screen in the back, and I presume, the lower left. I can't get his name right now, but he is one who has done an outstanding job in following up and establishing congregations and building congregations. The work in Niger had been very slow, and so he moved last year up to Niger. His wife is a nurse. He and his wife moved up, and they're going to help get things moving in Niger. And the fella in the upper left back is a student at the school now. His story is this. He was a Muslim. He was converted to Christianity. And his parents disowned him, kicked him out of the house. And some brethren helped him to buy a little cart and a little donkey, where he was able to earn enough to survive and get by. And so he came to the school last year. And he is fluent in French. He is fluent in English. He is back at the school now, continuing his education. He said, I still keep in contact with my family, but when I go home to see them, I will not eat anything because my mother might try to poison me. I will not sleep in the home while I'm there, because if I did, they might kill me while I'm asleep. He understands the reality. The Muslims have a thing they call honor killing. And so the fact that he left the Muslim faith to them, they feel that it's an embarrassment, and they would kill him if they had the opportunity. He still maintains contact with his family, but he will not put himself at risk. So that's the kind of challenge that some of these brethren are facing. Again, this is just typical housing around the campus. This is the security fence, which has now been completed all the way around our campus. We have an 8-foot high concrete wall, and we have steel spikes on top of that. So that hopefully will provide the security that we need to continue to do the work of training evangelists in northern Nigeria. This was in the city of Abuja. This is one of the congregations there. It was a large congregation, and this congregation, by the way, has elders. Abuja is the capital of Nigeria, and by the way, that's where they had the explosion in the bus station this past week, killing some 70 people. But they have a security fence around their building. They have a guard on duty. Anybody comes in suspicious, they take note of them. And they're all trying to be very careful in what they do. And yet they want to preach and teach the gospel of Christ and spread Christianity in northern Nigeria. That's the interior of the building there in Abuja. And I believe that is the last slide. Now I have one more, and this is Brother Adam Cox talking with one of the follow-up evangelists. One of the things that I did bring tonight, and I put several of these out on the table in the foyer, and I hope that you will take at least one per family. If I need to get more, I've got more in the van. But this gives a 25-year summary of the work that has been done in Jos. It is very worthwhile. I hope you will take a copy of that. One of the things that when I got involved in this work years ago, the idea of becoming a Jos partner, and I thought, what is that? I heard that terminology, but then I found out that you're invited to become a Jos partner. What does that mean? That means you give $10 a month, every month of the year, or you can do it one check per year, however you want to do. For me, I write a check in December every year, have done it for some 10 or 15 years. I write one check for $120, send it to the church in Gadsden, Alabama, that oversees Jos School of Biblical Studies. And that is the source of how we pay our staff. And how we're able to conduct the training that is ongoing. So if you've never considered that, I know you've got a lot of commitments, and I certainly appreciate everything that you have done for the work in Jos over the years and are continuing to do. I appreciate the fact that the elders agreed to oversee my doing the work that Brother Ray Bush had done. But it is a worthwhile work. It is a work that is making a difference in a part of the world that we so desperately need to get the gospel of Christ. 176 million souls in Nigeria compared to 5,000 in Alabama. But one of the things that I've always said is that the light that shines furthest is the light that shines brightest at home. We need the light of the gospel in America. Our culture is becoming more and more secular and not even wanting to hear religious discussion many times. We need to be involved in taking the gospel to our friends and neighbors right here, but also to remember there are places where there are so few opportunities for people to hear. I had a brother one time tell me, a brother in Christ tell me, I think we need to teach everybody here before we go anywhere else. You know, that's not the right attitude, because there are a lot of people who don't really want to hear the gospel here, and there are a lot of people who really want to hear it in other areas. We all need the good news. The good news that Jesus came, lived that perfect life as an example for us, gave himself as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Jesus' one-time sacrifice was adequate to cover the sins of every man and woman, boy and girl, who's reached the age of accountability in history. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice for my sins and yours. He gave himself that we could be forgiven. And he has set forth in his word exactly what we need to do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you believe Jesus is the Christ and are willing to make that good confession, we give you the opportunity right now. If you, as a member of the body of Christ, realize that you've not been doing what you need to be doing, and you want to come back to the church and be restored, we encourage you to do that tonight. Certainly, there's great opportunity to do much good, and we want to invite everyone to be involved. If you're subject, would you come as we stand and sing?